Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning. Notice how Beth sounds a lot happier this morning?
I am.
I think you are.
It's funny. I was having an isogenics intervention yesterday. I had a friend of mine on Facebook had written how she finally started eating healthy food and was actually losing weight. And I gripe that I've been on this isogenics and I've only lost like a pound and a half and or 2 pounds. And I've just been like really frustrated. And while I was on the line, another Facebook friend reached out to me and said, private messaged me because her name is Natalie Klein. She has a site called Hollywood Hot Moms. She's in California.
But
she's like awesome, and I'm giving her a shout out. Anyway, so she said to me, private messaged me. She said, I did isogenics, and I had a hard time with it too. I tried something else you might want to try instead. And so then we proceeded to have like a full-on texting conversation about the trials and tribulations of what I was going through and what she had gone through. And she had the same kind of issue. She actually lost 20 pounds on something called Purium, which is something else that's a little less, I guess. It's not as sweet as isogenics. But what she did do was she put me in touch with her friend who she said is an isogenics pro who could help me. Because I didn't reach out to Danielle yesterday. I was feeling down and frustrated, and I didn't want to bother her. So instead, this other woman, Wendy, started texting me and explaining what I needed to do. And I told her I was doing the cleanse part of it yesterday. So she said to me, whatever you do, don't weigh yourself the next day because you could get discouraged again. Wait another day because you're doing the cleanse for 2 days and then get on the scale. But I couldn't take it anymore because I've been, you know, I did the cleanse. I did it exactly the way the thing said yesterday. So I got on the scale and drum roll, please. I'm down another pound and a half. All right, so I decided because of that, I'm going to do the cleanse again today and see where that gets me, because if I can go down another little bit, then...
You chip away, and then all of a sudden you're talking, you're pounds.
Exactly. Then you're talking like, okay, you know, like 5-6 pounds in 2 weeks, which for me is huge because I felt like I have a ton to lose, but it's still, you know, it's hard. And I had a conversation last night with my mom, who was telling me, you know, she and I have the same exact metabolism, and she was saying how, you know, she goes to the gym 5 days a week, she eats right, she does all these things, and she still can't lose weight, and it drives her crazy. And the funny thing is, she said to me she had taken off some weight recently, but it was because she had dental surgery.
That'll do it.
So for all you out there, if you want to lose some weight, just get your wisdom teeth pulled, have a little root canal. Anytime you can go on a liquid diet.
That's probably an easier way to go. You're desperate, right? That's what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't desperate, but she said, yeah, you know, that was the only way it finally started coming off. But I do have to say, because, you know, Danielle had said it too, I was like following this like it was to the letter yesterday, and I did everything that it said.
No variations.
I didn't even have coffee yesterday, so I, yeah.
What are you drinking right now?
I'm having coffee. You gave me coffee.
Are you allowed to have coffee today?
I don't know. I mean, I have one coffee in the morning. What's going to happen? So, you did take her to the DP yesterday, so she got to see all of her furry friends, but she's a bit restless today because we saw a news report and we decided not to give our dog her dog food, even though that's the only dog food where we don't have problems with her going to the bathroom, but we read online that Benefol by Purina, there's a big class action lawsuit going around, and we've been using Benefol.
We have it in our closet right now.
Yeah, and they're saying that there are these, like, 4,000 dogs died from toxic poisoning and tied to some ingredients in Benefol that went bad. So, you know, it's one of those, like, recall type things where you never know, but it's our dog's health.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you want to be the one to take it.
Yeah, I don't want to take it. So I had read it, and I didn't say anything, and then Darren sent me an email yesterday and was like, read this now. So then I knew, we better get new dog food.
Yeah. as much time and energy and effort that we invest in this dog is not going to kill us to go out and change dog food, right?
Yes. So the only problem that I find with her dog
food. What did we give her this morning? I gave her
quinoa.
I gave her cheese, a couple slices of bologna, and some quinoa with your chicken gravy on it. Now, I'm hoping that there's nothing wrong with quinoa.
There's nothing wrong with quinoa. Quinoa's great for you. Quinoa's a good...
I hope it's okay for a dog, too.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing in
hopefully.
Quinoa.
So, yeah, she loved... I mean, she licked her bowl clean.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, you know what? That gravy that you have for the chicken, you can put that on top. You can put that on top
on
of any...
On styrofoam,
you can,
exactly.
You can put that on styrofoam. Doesn't matter. She'll eat it. As long as that gravy's on top.
Okay.
Beth makes... Beth makes her specialty chicken. Usually it's on Sundays. So, yeah. Say almost every Sunday you make your famous chicken dish.
Right. My famous chicken. I can put it in a restaurant.
It's our famous.
It's
famous
passed down from generation to generation.
And it's very good. And usually there's obviously a lot of gravy left over that we, in the past, would obviously just thrown away. But now we store it. And we know Santana absolutely loves it. And can go with almost anything that she's eating that she loves. So... what else is happening?
What else is happening?
Was
the snow again, something that's, you know, today.
Oh, my Lord.
Or do you have another program?
No, I don't. Listen, it's going to snow. Hopefully it is today, not over the weekend. It's Monday. Just don't snow on Mondays anymore, please.
I can certainly check the weather on my phone and tell you what the forecast is going to be for the next couple days.
I thought this was pretty cool. Since we were talking about Saturday Night Live not too long ago, it was something that came up on Yahoo or whatever. 13 actors, stars that have been banned from SNL over the years.
Well, now Kanye West is one of them.
I haven't seen his name yet, but I want to see who's been banned from Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
So they start off with Milton Berle. I'm not going to go into the reasons for each one, but Milton Berle. First one they mentioned, which obviously he was huge. Frank Zappa.
Boring.
Boring. Next one they have here is the Cypress Hill.
Again.
I have no idea. I don't even know what Cypress Hill is.
Yeah,
so
band, I think.
Steven Seagal. Now, I do remember something years ago.
Click on MCY.
What happened? Sounds
difficult to work with, and Michael's assessed him as the worst host ever.
The worst host ever. That was Steven Seagal. Then they mentioned the Replacements. I guess that's a group.
Yes.
Yeah. Musical guest on a 1986 show, all rock band. Lived down to their reputation. We're definitely not ready for it.
They were so intoxicated. All right.
Adrian Brody.
Interesting.
That's
why? Was he boring?
Adrian Brody was an unlikely choice for Lorne Michaels' Blacklist while hosting the 2003 show. He donned a dreadlocks wig and wrestling clothing.
The improvised introduction of Jamaican reggae star Sean Paul, including a rambling faux patois and botching Paul's name. Yeah, that'd be bad.
He's there.
Oh, he didn't clear the bit. Oh,
Robert Blake.
Wow. What happened to Robert Blake? Was he drunk or intoxicated?
Yeah, I could see it. I totally see that. Former child actor and star of television show Beretta was far from perfect host or guest when he showed his displeasure with the scripts. Charles Grodin.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Charles Grodin, he was to remind me.
He was in Overboard with Goldie Hawn, and he was in, wasn't he played the husband or
no?
Who is that?
That is the guy who was in, who was Keith Sutherland. He's the guy who recently died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lost Boys or something like that. He was in that movie. Corey Feldman. That's not Charles Grodin. Totally different guy. Who else is it? Can we go to the church? Oh, Sinead O'Connor. Remember Sinead O'Connor? This is ire of many people, I should say. In 1992, Irish singer Sinead O'Connor sang Barbara Marley's War a cappella with Up in Mission. She held a photo of Pope John Paul II, ripped it up, and yelled, "Fight the real enemy." I remember that. Remember the thing with Sinead O'Connor and Pope?
Yeah.
That was a disgraceful act by her. the director cut the applause sign and the audience made sounds, and then she post Joe Pesci takes the picture up. One might consider kind of action betrayal, but understood her conviction.
Martin Lawrence. Interesting. You like Martin Lawrence.
I like Martin Lawrence a lot.
Let's see what happened here.
What happened with Martin Lawrence?
Uh-oh.
I have internet problems.
Yeah.
I may have to wait on that.
Yeah.
That's some interesting names. I remember Steven Seagal. I remember the Sinead O'Connor, but Milton Berle, Charles Gordon.
What happened?
Oh, yeah, Martin Lawrence. During his actress monologue about female hygiene on the show, he became extremely filthy with his words, which led to most of the monologue being wiped as his aired live. Said the show rebroadcast a statement during the part of his monologue saying, at this point in his monologue, Martin begins a commentary on what he considers a decline in standards of feminine hygiene in this country. If he just left it, if he just left it at that. For some reason, the computer's having some problems.
Yeah, well, that's my computer because one of these days I'll buy myself a new one. It's terrible.
Oh, what about the other ones that we have?
Well, wait, you know what we have to do? We have to either bring someone in here to clean all the computers up and get them back to working condition. That's what we need to do. So bringing in one of those, geek squad people.
We have 10 different laptops around the house. None of them work.
Yeah, well, they work, but they just have a lot of junk on them. And I need to get moving because I have to make a montage for our son's bar mitzvah, and I need a computer that's working so I can, do something special. So I'm figuring middle of March I'm going to be working on that one. So I better find myself a computer or clean one off so I can get my my editing in gear.
Yes.
It's important. It's
get
very
going.
Important. I got to,
I thought it was interesting as we were sitting around the four of us around the dinner table yesterday.
What, that I was eating a chocolate while you were...
You were having piece of chocolate as you were having your dinner. So we started talking about the magician.
Oh, my God,
And there's a lot more to this. I mean,
I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, this kid supposedly
he's a famous
real
kid.
Deal.
Yeah.
Everybody in the high school knows him. Supposedly, he's like a rock star. Everybody loves this kid. He's got a great personality. He's obviously fantastic as a magician. Our daughter said he actually created a board game.
And he wrote a book.
All right, this kid, I don't know where this kid is applying to college and stuff.
He's going
to
get in everywhere.
I don't care what he gets on his SAT or ACT or anything like that.
Well, I care because he's missing our son's bar mitzvah because he's taking his ACT the same day.
But, listen, any college, university out there, just go right to his website and say, we need this.
Yeah, this kid is, our daughter told us that he writes on Facebook, he did something where he wrote a pun a day on Facebook, and then she said he was so funny. He's hilarious, and
I'm so impressed. I haven't met this kid.
Yeah,
I'm
he and so I were like going back and forth, and then he said he knew his our daughter's friends with one of his friends, and so I was like having a whole like email conversation with him. But he sounds like a great kid. She said our daughter said he's like the funniest kid in school. So and he's kind of famous because of all the season,
That's awesome. I'm serious. I'm actually really looking forward to meeting him on Friday to give our son a magic lesson.
We're going to, we want to groom our son to be his apprentice because our son's into making money to begin with, and he's got a full repertoire between.
He likes magic.
He likes magic.
He likes money.
He likes magic. He likes money. And he plays the guitar, too. So I think we can put together a whole act with him and push him out there. And get him. We already told him if he goes to the city and he opens up his guitar case, I'm sure that people will throw money in it. Oh, it's still around. They're still doing stuff. Yeah, we can find out what we can do. Get a little showcase. Yeah, it was fun. They invited him another time, and then I didn't realize he had had Hebrew school. It was like in between his. We can't necessarily take him away from.
Not right now.
We're in the what is it? The final.
Countdown.
The final countdown for his bar mitzvah. So you can't take him out of Hebrew school now. It's like no turning back. So this magic thing should be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm excited to have him. Our son is super excited.
Can he do a group us? Like if I hang out,
he may charge you more. I don't know.
All right. Well. If he's smart, he would charge more.
Yeah.
Sure he is smart.
And I have to tell you, friends of ours, I'm not saying who have an upcoming bar mitzvah too, are going to have a magician, but it's going to be for the adults. So that should be fun.
Really?
Yeah. So that was kind of They always do some cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. Because it's one of the few bar mitzvahs we're invited to.
I haven't been invited by a lot of people, and there haven't been that many where we fit.
We don't fit. We're older than a lot of
older than me.
Ha. We're older than a lot of these parents, especially if it's their first kid, and because this is our second. So we're in that group of we're a little bit older than they are, so it's just not our peer group. And then we just don't get out and hang out with people. We hang out with the people that are our friends, and that's it.
We
don't even do that sometimes.
We do have a couple of friends, actually, our son's friends' parents that we know that pretty much get invited every bar mitzvah out there. They're very well known and like really in circles of the people. And I, you know, very rarely to go to bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah that they don't get invited to. And I'm always curious if they like that or if they like at a certain point like
it's expensive.
It's one thing if you're sending your kid to a bar mitzvah all the time, that's, you know, usually running you anywhere $36 to $72 every time you send your kid to a bar mitzvah, depending on how well you know the kid. But if you as a couple are going to, let's call it 8 to 10 bar mitzvahs a year, which I think they do, I'm not sure, but that can, now you're talking about a significant
amount. Yeah, it's over like $1,000 you're dropping, you know, for
right.
8 to 10, that's a lot of money. So it's fine if you only get invited to a few key bar mitzvahs where you're ready to have a good time with good friends, and
that's it.
So anyway, we have.
Right. So anybody out there that gets invited to a bar mitzvah, really want to go, or is like, really dreading it, probably doing everybody a favor, I think.
They can't make it. No, I had a friend that did that. I had a friend that actually had to, you know, financially, it was like she sent in an RSVP and said, I can't make it. You know, it was like she had too many in a row, and she wasn't as close and felt bad, but it was like she had to.
You got to cut it off at a certain point.
Yeah, so I have an interesting story.
Uh-oh.
Warren Buffett believes in eating like a six-year-old. So you've heard of the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet, the Zone diet. Well, brace yourself for the Buffett diet. At 84 and with $72.8 billion and counting, Warren Buffett stirs interest when asked that age-young question, how do you do it? The answer, eat like a six-year-old. I'm one-quarter Coca-Cola, the chief executive of Berkshire Hathaway told Fortune magazine, of the beverage giant in which he owns $16 billion in stock. If I eat 2,700 calories a day, a quarter of that is Coca-Cola. I drink at least 5 12-ounce servings. I do it every day. The Oracle of Omaha says his diet is high sugar and high salt, and he said he changed his eating to mirror a boy that age. I checked the actuarial tables, and the lowest death rate is among six-year-olds, so I decided to eat like one, he told the magazine. It's the safest course I can take. A six-year-old without a mother to second-guess him, that is. He told Fortune that for a recent breakfast, he had a bowl of chocolate chip ice cream. I love Warren Buffett. That's cool.
You know, I used to love Warren Buffett.
But you don't?
And over time, I became very weight, you know, down-to-earth guy. And I think this part of that is definitely true that he can. There's another part of him that, is a pure capitalist at heart, which is great, and I think that, but I want him to act that way on, you know, on all fronts. When it came to the elections and stuff, the things he was saying about taxes, you know, he talk about what the fair system, like, does anything you impose upon him doesn't matter. Like, he's past the point of reality in terms of the entire country. So if you impose taxes 40%, 50%, whatever it is on him,
still has
it
billions.
Doesn't matter.
Still have lots of billions in the bank.
He's already out of the stratosphere.
Yeah. Right?
So he can't speak. He can't speak intelligently for what it's like for the average American out there, or even the, you know, upper middle class. He just has no clue. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. He just has more money.
He knows
than his generations upon generations of Buffett will ever know what to do with. So when he makes certain statements, I think he tries to, he's really not.
I'd like for him to then, okay, so every year he should give $1 billion away, I don't know, to a to a town in need. Buffett's billions. If you've got all that to do, you know, if you want to, like, think about who needs it most, and you come up with all these families and give them $1 billion, and here you go. Like,
yeah.
Pays off everybody's mortgage and everybody. I mean, let him be like that.
I think it's great. No, there's a definite social consciousness about, you know, talks, you know, what's fair and redistribution of wealth. That's great, and I agree with you, but it shouldn't be for some people. It should be something that all these multi-billionaires should be incented to do on their own. And it shouldn't be extracted from, you know, from their wealth by government. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I love, like Bill and Melinda Gates. They do a ton of stuff for giving back. And even Zuckerberg, like, he's put, like, he's donated all kinds of stuff to schools and put, you know, millions of dollars into places. So they're giving back where it makes the most sense in terms of helping with education, which is amazing. So
yeah, I mean, hopefully these guys realize that even if they gave away 75% of their wealth,
they'd still be super wealthy.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I hear the stuff that the Gates all the time. There's a lot of good multi-billionaires out there.
Well, and I hear that even like Michael Dell, one of my clients has benefited by being a part of the Dell Women's Entrepreneurial Network. Isabella Rose Taylor, she's actually in India right now speaking at TEDx India, my 13-year-old client. TEDx. It's a huge, like, tech kind of thing.
Like FedEx.
Not FedEx, no, but it's called TEDx, and it's very prestigious to get to speak at TEDx, and she is speaking right now in India. She's been interviewed by Cosmo L in India, like all these different places, and she's there this week with her parents, and they're there for 10 days, and it's pretty unbelievable. But the opportunity came to her because she spoke at a conference that was by Dell, and these women who are actually interested in helping her, they're investors, and they're guiding her, which is pretty amazing.
We should be able to have something with her, in addition that we have someone.
We can put a full-on show.
Right.
Any teen that you have? She's 13. She'll be 14 this month. But we've been working with her since she's 11. Yeah. And it's amazing to see the transformation. She... you know, her clothes are at Nordstrom's now. She just had a show at New York Fashion Week. We've got all kinds of great things coming up. We're crossing our fingers about something big. I like Nordstrom. I really like Nordstrom's a lot. It's
probably a different feeling.
Yeah, well, exactly. it's good quality clothes. You know that when you pay for something, it's not going to fall apart. And they have great sales too. So, and the service is terrific. There's this really nothing bad to say about Nordstrom's. I really love that store. So, very, it's pleasurable. And speaking of that, I mean, not that we're going to get our son suit at Nordstrom's, but we have got to get our son a suit.
I know. I've been afraid to get it.
I know. I think he's like 5'7 right now.
No, he was 5'7 during the last podcast.
Now he's like 5'9. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, the person at Brooks Brothers did say to us that we should wait a month before because you don't want him to be, like, you don't want him to grow anymore. And he could very well grow.
In the week.
Yeah, I mean, he has some sweatpants that are, like I said, they're knickers. You finally got him. You got him covered with your Walmart special. Oh my God!
We looked at each other as we were walking out the store. Yeah.
Yeah, we're ashamed.
So don't allow me. Not Walmart in general, but at least that particular store. That was.
Even JCPenney is better than Walmart. You know.
I haven't. There's a good JCPenney right down on the hutch.
I mean, I just feel like if you're going to go for, like, less expensive stuff, you can go to JCPenney, you go to Kohl's, you know, even Macy's. Although the Macy's in the city is insane. Whenever our daughter goes to FIT, I kind of stroll over there, and it's a madhouse.
When does FIT start up again?
I believe either not this weekend, but I think the next weekend.
What's the class she can actually take? Like, what is it?
Pattern making. Learning how to make patterns.
And what was the last
time? Last time it was draping. So draping was how to drape like a mat. The cool thing that she learned was that a designer doesn't even, she learned how to sew, but a designer doesn't necessarily have to learn how to sew. They can pin up a mannequin with the way they want their outfit draped and then send it to a seamstress to sew it, and that's your sample.
Oh,
So, you know, it's kind of interesting.
I know you told me this before, but just to let everyone know, how much does a class FIT cost?
An 11-week class that's 3.5 hours long costs less than $300.
That is the best deal
it's amazing. It really is the best kept secret.
Until our daughter expressed interest in this path for herself,
mm-hmm.
I never really paid much attention to FIT. I never really had reason to, right?
Right. So,
interestingly, as she did express interest, I started finding out from you. It's incredible what they do.
It really is.
The people that are associated with it is incredible.
Oh, I mean, top designers teach the classes. It's amazing.
The programs that they have. So, people have kids out there that have anything remotely similar of an interest in terms of.
But it's not just fashion. You could be photography, graphic design.
Anything, I just call it the art.
Yeah, visual art.
Visual art. I highly recommend you go ahead and look online and see what FIT has to offer. It's very impressive and very affordable.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing, too, is they have a summer program. So does Parsons. So does the New School. They all have these great high school intensive programs. They're a little more expensive. But I really think that the opportunity to have these kids taught by real designers who are in the thick of it, you don't get an experience like that anywhere else in the world, really. I mean, it's an amazing experience. And so this pattern making thing is very cool because it's funny. I know through my client, she has, she makes patterns. She designs her own patterns because she got to a point where she would pick a pattern she liked, and then when they tried to source the fabric, they realized they couldn't get enough fabric in the pattern that she liked and the color that she liked to get what she wanted. So she worked with Dell, and now the computer that they've outfitted her with actually has the technology for her to create her own pattern so that she can send it to the manufacturer, and it'll be her signature design. And that's what designers are doing now. So it's like, forget it. I don't need to go to a fabric house anymore. I'll just make my own patterns and pick the fabric I want it on and put it out there. So her artwork is on clothing.
And who gets cut out of the stuff now?
Well, I guess it's the fabric houses. You know, although you do send it to the, you're still using fabric, but I don't know who makes patterns to begin with. Somebody's getting cut out of it because she, you know, over the years, it was a source of frustration because of the fact that she would say, okay, I want this. And then all of a sudden they would go and look to try to get a larger quantity and they didn't have it. And it's like, I can't keep doing this, especially if there are places like Nordstrom's that want her line. She has to make sure that she can guarantee she can deliver the pattern that they like. So that's how it is. And she's an artist, so she actually does her paintings on T-shirts and all kinds of other things that are signature to her, which is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's why I'm kind of, you know, happy that our daughter is doing it. She's going to have to go to one of her classes without us because we will be at a bar mitzvah for one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it might even be the first one, so I'm going to have to coordinate that with her, give her money for a cab to go to Grand Central. And
she'll like that.
Yeah, I mean, she's almost 16. It's like I was going into 16. I was going into the city at night with my friends at 16 years old.
You were doing a lot of stuff at 16.
Yes, I was. Yes.
We'll save that discussion for another day.
Exactly. So you have to take our son to school. It's about that time.
Yes, you do. To get ready for our days. You're winding down at your office, right?
Yes, we have to empty out the office today, so I might need help with a pickup or something.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
I'm
going to be driving some of our stuff into the city on Monday, so I want to make sure that printer, I'm not going to ship it, it's too expensive, so I'm going to just bring it in.
We got to start thinking about a couple of different places that we want to start hosting our show, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we should go to that place, Swirl.
Go to Swirl? We should.
Scientology. We'll go all over. We'll just have computer. We'll travel.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll actually keep seeing it.
And we'll interview him right there.
Good. All right. Alrighty. On that note.
Thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.